Geneva was perhaps not yet quite ready for so strict a regime, and Calvin and Farel were chased out. Calvin went to Strasbourg, and there he studied for a period of time, was much influenced by a man by the name of Martin Bucer. Bucer was born in 1491, died in 1551. Again, a man who's, you know, what is that, something like 18 years older than Calvin. Bucer was a former Dominican. He later became a significant leader in the Swiss Reformed communities in the years right after Zwingli's death. Now, Bucer was an influential theologian, particularly on such things, for instance, as the doctrine of the Eucharist, and Calvin learned a good deal from him. In 1541, Farel and Calvin were called back to Geneva, and they were then able to institute their Holy Commonwealth. Their Holy Commonwealth. They turned Geneva into a very particular, distinctive kind of place. Four groups of people, pastors, doctors of the learned, not the medical sort, elders, and deacons, were assigned power in this new city. The supervision of public morality was effected by a consistory. Now, the consistory was, in some ways, the key institution in the Holy Commonwealth of Geneva. It was made up both of ministers in the Reformed Church and of prominent laymen in the city. And it really did help to impose, to shape, to form this very, very strict regime that was instituted in Geneva. Now, it took maybe something like 10 years, really, to impose this regime fully within the city. Now, during these years, when the Holy Commonwealth was being instituted by Calvin and by Farel, we find a lot of extremely strict legislation being passed. Calvin himself became a virtual dictator. Very harsh penalties were imposed, for instance, for skipping church services. If people were found out and about in public at the time when, at preaching time, they could be rounded up and arrested. A person could be executed in Geneva for saying that the Pope was a good man. Most ordinary human pleasures, singing and dancing, for example, were forbidden. These were satanic. These were not godly. These were sinful. These were a waste of people's time. So this regime that was instituted in Geneva was a strict one. All right. But Calvinism, the Reformed faith, was something much more than a series of restrictive practices imposed upon people in this particular town, Geneva. What exactly was the Calvinist faith? How may we try to capture a sense of Calvin's actual teachings? Calvin began with the absolute sovereignty of God. He reflected on various passages in the Old Testament that seemed to create such a chasm between God and man. So he began with the absolute sovereignty of God, and he moved on to what he called the radical depravity of man, the utter sinfulness, the utter unworthiness of man. Now, Calvin treated the absolute sovereignty of God even before the primacy of Scripture in his Institutes of the Christian Religion. In a certain sense, this was the place you had to start. Now, we could say that Calvin and the Reformed tradition begin with God and argue over this chasm to man. Whereas in a certain sense, one could say that in the Catholic tradition, one began with man and argued one's way up to God. Certain way of thinking about the two traditions. But whereas for the Catholic tradition, there was a gap, it was a bridgeable gap. For Calvin, perhaps that gap was never bridgeable. Now, Calvin's mature formulation of his Reformed faith may be found in the 1539 and later editions of his Institutes. Now, let's pause there. Remember, the first edition comes out when he's, 25, 26 years old, something like that. The second edition comes out when he's only 30. He's still a very young man to have written so magisterial and important a book.